Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed your day so far. If you want to reach out and, kind of engage with me, kind of ask me a question, tell me how much you love the show, how much you hate me. There's a couple of ways you can do that. Hell, if you want to talk about any of the topics that I've talked about in the last week or so, I have no problem stepping back in time and actually retouching on topics or stories or personal stuff that I've talked about. You can easily do that. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can text or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. On today's show, one of the news stories I'm going to touch on a little bit, I want to talk about the double standard and the boycott that a lot of the FTEs, the full trucker effects, the truckers wanting to boycott Colorado after that one driver that didn't have alcohol, didn't have any drugs in his system. Yeah, he messed up. Killed some people. Dude got over 100 years in jail. Gonna hit on that later. But I want to talk about a couple of things. So I talked to Vulture because I've been busy with this home closing. The closing for the house that my mom's buying is on the 29th. And a lot of people are like, oh, why are you doing this? Why isn't your mom doing it? Look, I don't want anybody to think that my dad was some type of chauvinistic type guy. It was just, it was a sign of the times, people. You know, I've talked about this. My mom stayed home with me until I was able to drive to high school. And when I was able to do that, she went back to work. But my dad just thought it was the best for me to be able to have my mom at home to keep an eye out on me. Because I trust me, if my mom wouldn't have been around, I would have gotten into some trouble. And my mom never, ever had to buy a home. Never had to deal with that type of stuff because my dad did all that. And thankfully for Ian Hannah, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm an expert when it comes to buying homes or anything like that. But Ian Hannah, my great, great sponsor on the Tuttle Daily Podcast, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler areas, make sure you check out my good friend Ian Hannah. Go to his website, ianhannahomes.com. So I was busy with that, and I was talking to Vulture. We were in contact about that upcoming potential gig that could be life-changing for me. I'm not talking about life-changing money, but it doesn't take much money to change my life. Just saying. I was like, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, man, I'm having to go out, I'm having to buy tampons for his old lady. I'm not, you know what? Scratch that. It's a very Southern thing to say your old lady. I'm not saying his lady is old. When you say old lady, you think, no. Vulture has a hot, hot wife. But he had to go out and had to buy tampons. And I never had a problem with that. Like, well, I will say, when I was married, my wife did not wear tampons. She wore pads. So I did have to buy pads with that. That's another story for another day. But I had to go buy my mom tampons before. But Vulture was kind of having a little bit of a problem with it. And we're talking about a Marine. We're talking about a Marine, the best of the best when it comes to our soldiers here in the United States. and he was kind of having a problem having to go buy tampons. He was like, oh, I could probably go to a, you know, like one of those self-checkouts so I don't have to go to the cashier. Vulture, that's only in movies where they go to ring up the tampons and it doesn't ring up. The barcode doesn't work. And then they got to like reach down into the microphone and be like, I need a price check on heavy flow tampons, aisle 9. And everybody can hear it. No, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. They can just call in the back stock room. Like, hey, what's the price on the heavy flow tampons? I don't even know if it was heavy flow tampons. I don't even know why I said that. But I was telling Vulture about why I didn't really have a problem getting tampons for my mom back in the day, because I ended up when I was, I couldn't even tell you, in between 8 and 11, I found my mom's box, not her actual box. I'm talking her box of tampons. And I didn't know what they were. I just knew that they absorbed water and they became very squishy and pliable. So I ruined a whole box. It was one of the worst ass beatings I ever got. I ended up ruining a whole box of my mom's tampons because when I was taking a shower. No, this was back when I was still having a bath. So like probably 8 years old. And I like figured out that you put the tampons in water, it would soak it up. And I threw them up against the walls, a whole box of tampons. I would say even when we moved out of our house in DeLeon Springs, 8 years later, there was a dried up tampon that I had thrown up into the corner of the shower that just stuck there. Nobody ever bothered to remove it. And it was just there. And it's just those little things that remind you of things in the past. But, yeah, they weren't very happy. I actually had to ride my bike up to the store. And that was like a 45-minute drive. After I got my ass beat, I had to drive up and buy tampons in DeLeon Springs because I had thrown all my mom's tampons that I had wetted up against the wall. And that stuff does turn into paper mache after they dry for a while, because I think the reason that one tampon was up in the corner was because it had hardened so much it had actually become tampon concrete. And we lived in a double wide. A lot of that stuff was held with spit and sweat and glue. So they didn't want to like muscle that tampon out of the corner of the shower because it had just hardened up. It just became a part of the house, and I think that's why it was there. Moving on, I wanted to talk about last night during the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream. I hate doing the YouTube live stream on Zoom. And if any of the people that are techies out there that know anything about Zoom and going from Zoom to YouTube, if you guys know how to fix it, where when I stream from Zoom to YouTube, how I can get the video to show up full screen, that would be greatly appreciated because we've been trying to figure that out. But the reason I did last night's live stream on Zoom was because Bubba the Love Sponge, the Bubba Radio Network, I don't think they're doing any more live terrestrial shows. I know the last year that I worked there, or the previous year, I don't even know. I've come and gone so many times at that place. A lot of it is to my own fault. But during the Christmas holiday vacation, we ended up doing a lot of the exclusive streams on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube. And they were doing a live stream at the same time on Facebook when I was doing my live stream on YouTube. So that's why I ended up deciding to do it on Zoom, because me and Vulture have become like the MacGyver of trying to broadcast with limited equipment. But we figured out how to be able to take live phone calls during my live stream, but we got to do it through Zoom. And I don't want anybody to think that I was wanting to talk with Bubba, but I wanted to do a live on live last night. But Bubba's famous for that. Some of the best radio that Bubba's ever done is doing the live on live. Everybody remembers how he owned Calta on the live on live. I've never been a big fan of the Live on Live. It was just something that I thought of last minute. It was probably a bad idea. But I wasn't going to be adversarial at all. I wasn't calling in to argue with him at all. I just wanted to catch up. It's not like Bubba needs my help for promotion. If I'm just being honest, I was kind of doing it to get a little bit of the Bubba rub. But he was doing his Facebook live stream and did have a lot of people watching. I told people to, you know, hop on the Facebook live stream to let him know that I was trying to call in. And we ended up calling the regular line. Nobody picked up. Ended up calling the hotline, which I didn't really want to do. Because Bubba doesn't like when it's not important to call the hotline. And I didn't want to throw him off. And you guys all know that I cannot be on the terrestrial show for some of the dumbass comments that I made about people at Florida Man Radio, on-air personalities. Management, for some reason, hates me. They hated me before that. But I get it. Like, no hate. I completely understand it. I know that I rub people the wrong way. I probably pissed management off somewhere down the line through my career. Not going to mention any names. But I just can't be on the terrestrial show. So I thought it would be a great time to catch up. It was going to be cool. I just want to say hi. Because I haven't talked to Bubba in quite some time. And out of all the times that I've left Bubba's show, I'll admit, I was a complete a-hole. I was a dick. I mean, since I left the last time, and look, I'm not mad that I got let go. I kind of was a liability. I was a complete a-hole the day that I got out, or the day after I got out of the hospital and came in. Yeah, I'll admit it. I messed up. I deserved to get fired. But I just don't understand why I've been ostracized. Because I really have been really, really cool. Because all the other times, like I said, I was a complete dick. But man, and I would never even, like, I would never be a Rat Fink bitch and blow Bubba in on some of the things that I know. I just wouldn't do it. Because the guy gave me a lot of opportunities. Matter of fact, he gave me pretty much more opportunities than any other radio host has. And I got crickets, straight crickets. Like I said, Bubba, it would be punching down for Bubba. Like I said, it's not like I'm going to help him out with my big-ass audience that I have for a podcast that I do out of my PT Cruiser. When I live stream, I do it out by the seawall on a rotted out wood picnic bench. By the way, when I was doing it, it was misting. The rain has been absolutely horrible here. But I tried. I took my shot, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. But, you know, trying to think outside the box and do something new, I thought it would be fun. And like I said, it doesn't benefit him. Maybe he's just done with me. Maybe he's just tired of the Tuttle stick. Who knows? There was somebody in the chat room that asked, would I ever go back to Bubba if he wanted to hire me? I don't think that that's ever going to happen. Just it's not in the cards. But if Bubba offered me to do an exclusive podcast or a live show on Bubba Army Radio, sign me up. Don't even have to pay me. Let me. I will work for plugs. And it's not like I'm going to give you rehashed content that I've done for my stuff, for the Tuttle Daily Podcast. No, it's going to be exclusive stuff. And it's not going to be hard for me to do. Yeah, do I miss doing terrestrial radio? Yes, I do, of course. But the one thing about this podcast, doing it by myself, has made me a far better broadcaster than what I was before, because it was kind of like sink or swim, baby. And guess what? I'm swimming. I haven't drowned. I mean, I know, like, my content can be hit or miss sometimes, but I don't think people realize how hard it is to be able to do a radio show by myself. You know who does know that? Bubba. There are two guys, and it's neck and neck when it comes to broadcasters. I've talked about this before. But out of all the broadcasters that I've worked with, host or co-host, if you just caught them off guard and pulled them into the studio and said, hey, you got to come in. You got to do an hour. No show prep, no preparation at all. There are two radio hosts that I've worked with, and I cannot tell you who would be number one, but the first one that comes to mind is Ron Bennington. Ron Bennington, if you want to check him out, he's on Sirius, doing a Sirius XM. He's doing a show with his daughter, Chris Stanley, a couple of other people, Black Earl. I know I'm going to catch shit that I can't remember. Vito. Yeah, I think it's Vito. I hope so. Because I think Vito is very funny, but I'm horrible with names. I'm gonna use the Jake Paul excuse. So many concussions, I can't remember. I'm a little slow on my feet as of late because of that. But then the other person would be Bubba the Love Sponge. Bubba just has this unique knack for just being able to hold court and just talk and just ad-lib about anything and make people laugh. It's definitely neck and neck between Ron Bennington and Bubba the Love Sponge. If you were just to pull a radio host out of the hallway and kind of surprise him and say, hey, I need you to do an hour. No show prep, no preparation. It's between those two. I'm kind of fond of Ron Bennington, because Ron Bennington is always kind of hold a special place in my heart. The guy's the most naturally funny guy that I've ever met. And I've met, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but a lot of radio guys can just be complete assholes. They can. They don't care about you. They're egotistical. I've always said one of the traits of being a radio host is being kind of a sociopath, egotistical, just type person. Because if you think that people want to hear your voice for 4 hours a day, well, hell, just being on the radio, if you think people want to hear your voice for 4 hours, then you got to be a little bit of a sociopath. You got to be an egomaniac. But I never got that from Ron Bennington. That dude did more for me than anybody in radio. I know that I had said Bubba, but I'm just talking about off the air. Ron Bennington was almost like a father figure for me, a second father. I remember when he told me they were going up north and leaving the Crow to go to work. Ron Bennington didn't have to take me out to lunch. I think it was at a chain Italian restaurant. I think it was a pizza buffet place. It was in the same shopping plaza right across the street from Daytona International Speedway. And the only reason I remember that is that my mom in high school would take me to that Marshall's to do school shopping. That's why I got clowned all through high school, because I did all my school shopping, all my back to school shopping at Marshall's. Ugh. I was rocking LA Gears. Remember one year? Probably even had the LA Gear light ups. I always wanted one of the Reebok pumps that Shaq was pumping, whatever. Never got those. But I digress. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I don't know, if I'm just being real, feelings are a little hurt, because I really do think that I've been cool and nice. I haven't said anything bad about Bubba, but I do understand why I'm damaged goods. And I don't have any animosity towards Bubba, but I completely understand why he had to separate from me. Because I messed up. I pissed off the wrong people. And there's no hard feelings. Just kind of sucks that I don't talk to him anymore. Because I do care about him. Still think he is a fantastic broadcaster. And that's it. I know that I went long on my opening segment, but one of the first stories I wanted to get into, and I've been doing a lot of research on this, because, you know, you can't believe anything that you see on social media, but I've been seeing a lot of memes comparing that one kid, the rich little bastard that killed a couple of people while under the influence. He was blitzed out of his mind, and he killed three people. And I understand why people would be upset, because I would be upset if I lost a loved one because a trucker basically, like, flattened his brakes and killed a bunch of people because he couldn't stop. But I really do think 110 years is a little excessive. Especially, you know, this guy is a Spanish guy. He was not drunk. He wasn't doing any drugs. None of that stuff was in his system. But then you got this rich little teenage kid that barely did any time. And he killed a bunch of people. But he made the decision to drink and drive. And this poor Spanish dude just had an accident, and he's got to spend a century in jail.
It was an unforgettable tragedy, the crash on I-70 on April 25th, 2019. Four lives lost, four families left without a loved one, many others injured.
I drive I-4 at least once a month, and I pretty much drive the whole distance. I go from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I've talked about this before. I-4 is the most dangerous interstate in the United States of America, and it's also the shortest one. So think about this. Like, I'm taking my life into my hands every time I go to Tampa to hang out with my best friend, Colt. And I've been pretty good, but if I died in a car accident, keyword accident, now, could it be prevented? Yes, because there's a lot of distracted drivers. I think one of the reasons I-4 is the most dangerous is because all the tourists, they don't know where the hell they're going. But it's just the cost of doing business.
It's important to keep them in mind as we talk about the sentencing of Rogel Aguilera Madero.
I think it's funny that they did get a Spanish reporter. And you know that they did this. The producers, the program directors were all like, all right, this guy's got a very stereotypical Spanish name. Let's put our best Spanish broadcaster on this story.
The inexperienced truck driver behind that tragedy. He was handed 110 years in prison.
Once you have 23 felonies with mandatory minimums that are served consecutively, that can quickly add up.
I don't know the exact number, so I'm just throwing out, spitballing a number. But hundreds of people in the United States die every single day because of car accidents that are just accidents. I'm not talking about people that are drunk driving or high on drugs or anything like that. And you don't see people getting felonies for that. So why this guy? This guy was a truck driver. He obviously was able to pass the driving test to get a CDL. Why aren't they going after the DMV that gave him his CDL? Because if he's inexperienced and they're claiming that he didn't know what he was doing, then he shouldn't have had any business being behind the wheel of a truck, but he did have his CDL license.
DU law professor Ian Farrell says Colorado has mandatory minimum rules and sentence enhancers that are more extreme than other states.
And this is where I have a problem. Why even have a federal government if all the states get to make up their own rules, because there are a lot of pissed off truck drivers right now. And I did see a TikTok video, but I've also been doing some research, and I don't think it was a part of the boycott, because there was a video that was posted of a bunch of truck drivers blocking the interstate. But I've also had conflicting reports where they said that it was a bad accident. But I don't see it, because all the lanes were filled up with nothing but trucks. I didn't see a single car that wasn't a truck in that line. See, this is why social media has got us coming and going. And we don't know what to believe when it comes to news anymore.
No discretion on a minimum sentence.
I think that this length of sentence for this particular defendant is vastly disproportionate.
Do you think? Yeah, when some little rich asshole teenage kid that his family are like multimillionaires, and he got probation, and then he did have to serve some time because he was in violation of his probation, but I think it was only like 180 days for each person that he killed, which, you know, came out to like 2 years. 2 years is nothing compared to 110 years. And I don't know how Colorado expects to get any of their goods in, because there were about 3 million people that signed a petition to boycott any of the truck drivers or wanting to stop delivering to Colorado. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them, because this could happen to any of these truck drivers out there, and it just all could have been an accident. You don't see doctors. You know, doctors accidentally kill people all the time, and guess what? They have malpractice insurance. When was the last time you saw a doctor go to jail for any amount of time for accidentally killing a patient? It's just not fair.
That sentence inspired a Change.org petition that's garnered more than 3.1 million signatures. On social media,
shut down city.
A call for truckers to boycott Colorado until Aguilera Maderos is released or the law is changed.
I'm not seeing really anything that's, showing up so much in that boycott.
That's Greg Fulton from the Colorado Motor Carriers Association. They spent a lot of time this week trying to clear up misinformation.
The petition, which was out there, seems to indicate that he was not responsible for this.
Oh, he definitely should get some time, but goddamn, 110 years for not maliciously killing a bunch of people? He wasn't drunk. He wasn't high. He just messed up. I mean, I was an iron worker for a long time. You know how many mistakes that I've seen people? I didn't see any deaths, but I did see some people get hurt because somebody messed up.
Unfortunately, the facts don't seem to support that.
Instead, he says it was the driver's fault that the brakes overheated. He also doesn't give credence to a video that's quickly being reshared on social media of an alleged boycott.
It looked like it may have been from a different time.
He believes that's a highway closure. Fulton says 110 years seems too stiff, but the driver was at fault, so he doesn't think a pardon or commutation are appropriate.
You want to know the thing that gets judges, politicians, county councilmen to get things done? When all the truck drivers refuse to deliver any of the goods there. Because, like I said, this could have happened to any other truck driver. Did he mess up? Yes. Maybe was he not prepared enough for that situation? Yes. But guess what? He passed his CDL. Why are they not going after the DMV? Guess what? They work for the government, people.
I think it's important that, you know, as an industry, we take responsibility.
You know how many of these truckers? My good friend Fish on Jay, he has his CDL, and he drives around with a dash cam everywhere he goes. And I don't blame him. You know how many people that are inconsiderate to truck drivers, and they think truck drivers can just stop on a dime? It's not happening. Especially in Florida, where there's a lot of rain. You got to cover your own ass, because people will just cut you off, slam on the brakes, thinking you could stop because they didn't know what exit they had to get off on. Guess what? A lot of the accidents that involve truck drivers are due to other people driving regular cars every single day.
Instead, maybe eventually, he says the sentence could be reevaluated. As for Farrell, he says some of Colorado's laws could, maybe even should, change.
To abolish the consecutive, or at least alter the consecutive sentencing rules.
But again, none of this makes what happened in 2019 any less of a tragedy.
Wait, so, all right, we had four people that lost their lives, and we're going to practically, you might as well just give this guy the death penalty. If I was this guy, this Spanish dude, and they were like 110 years, I would have just stood up and said, hey, judge, can we just stick the needle in my arm right now? Because there's no way that I can handle 110 years for an accident, a mistake that I made. And I'll admit if I'm wrong, if it comes to find out he was high as a kite or he was drunk, but I haven't seen anything like that to make me believe that's what happened.
For the people who died, the people affected, and even that truck driver.
I don't know. People die all the time because of accidents, and we're not sending those people that were at fault to a century in jail. But this is an old audio clip that I'm about to play for you, and this is the disparity that I'm talking about. This little rich asshole, the affluenza kid that didn't do any jail time because his parents were so rich and he didn't know any better, that he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to be out drinking and driving. Yeah. Just more proof, if you got money, you can get away with anything.
The Texas judge stunning a packed court today with that ruling against the so-called affluenza teen, Ethan Couch.
After the first 180 days, then the second 180 days will start.
180 days for each of the four victims. In total, the Fort Worth judge ordering the 19-year-old to serve almost 2 years in county lockup for probation violation.
By the way, guys, this was not the original sentence after he killed those people while he was drinking and driving. He killed a bunch of people while DUI, and he got probation. And the little prick couldn't keep his nose clean, even though he got off scot-free. And then he only did the 2 years because he violated his parole.
In 2013, Couch was sentenced to probation for killing four people in a drunk driving crash. He was 16 then, turned 19 on Monday.
The big difference between this teenager, he chose to drink. He chose. So that's not an accident. This poor Spanish dude, I shouldn't even say Spanish dude, this truck driver. And I know that there are some truck drivers that listen to me, because I'm sure a lot of them have followed me over from my time with the BRN. And this could happen to anybody. Scout and Big Gulp, two of the nicest people you could ever imagine. I mean, I still stay in touch with them all the time, even though I haven't been on the BRN for almost 2 years. And what, God forbid, if there would have been an accident, I couldn't even imagine Scout and Big Gulp doing 100 years. If they did, I can tell you, those two badass bitches would be running the prison.
This favoritism that he's still a kid or juvenile is gone. It expired at 12 o'clock Monday. He's now an adult. Needs to be treated like
one. Couch has been in jail since January when he was extradited to Texas after fleeing to Mexico.
By the way, they didn't include the audio in the news story about the truck driver that accidentally killed those people. He was very remorseful. He was. I mean, you could tell he was genuinely upset for killing those people. This little asshole tried to flee to Mexico. I don't understand why people do not have a bigger problem with this than what they do.
With that mop of dyed hair and a shaggy beard, he was directed into court by Sheriff D. Anderson.
Certainly this time that he spent in a single cell by himself with no privileges, that's a rude awakening for anyone.
Especially for a teen whose million-dollar legal team argued Couch was too pampered to go to jail.
See, this is the biggest problem we face in our country right now. Yeah, racism is bad, but the classism, I don't even know if that's a word. If we ever, I talked about this yesterday, if we ever had a civil war, I don't think it's going to be a racial thing. It's going to be the poor eating the rich. Because, like the person said, they're so pampered. None of those rich assholes could survive if all hell broke loose. This is when the poor are going to take back the country. And I understand why people are pissed off. And I know some of you guys are going to call me a communist or a Marxist, but I'm not. But this is just a prime example of how the rich get treated better than the poor.
As part of his original sentencing, Ethan was ordered to a state-run rehab, but his millionaire parents said they couldn't afford to pay. So the state stepped in, taxpayers shelling out tens of thousands of dollars, 17 times more than the couches.
I really don't think I have to say any more. I mean, that reporter just dropped the mic. I don't understand how you guys are not infuriated that just because this little kid was rich, chose to drive drunk and kill a bunch of people, and he didn't do much time because he was too rich and pampered. But the poor minority guy that just made a mistake got to do a century in jail. Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Anyways, going to get out of here. Want to thank my good friend Ian Hanna. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Volusia, or Flagler area, go to my good friend's website, ianhannahomes.com. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.